Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday, the November the 1st. This is Janet and your other readers are Alan, Amanda, Brian and Kevin. The editor this week is John. All are members of Team 3. This week's sponsor is RL Supplies. Over 30 years' experience in repairs to PCs, laptops, tablets and many models of phones. Telephone 01923 896 996 or the website is www.rlsupplies.co.uk. Many of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines: Hemel Health Campus plans are under fire, an inmate freed in error from the Mount prison, Hemel FC vows action over fans' sexist chants. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Alan. Health Campus Rumpus. A campaign group has heavily criticised plans to open a health campus in Hemel Hempstead and has accused leaders of rushing the potential closure of the town's hospital. The Decorum Health Action Group called the plans an extraordinary U-turn and said the proposed site on Market Square was considered one of the worst options available for a new health centre just 7 years ago. It also said that the scheme to replace the 200-year-old hospital would fall short of pledges by Prime Minister Keir Starmer that the project would be subject to a full public consultation. The proposal was for the new campus was put forward by representatives from Decorum Borough Council and the West Hertfordshire NHS Trust. Both bodies rejected the Decorum Health Action Group's contention that engagement meetings about the project had been poorly advertised, saying around 8,000 people responded to a consultation process, adding that they would continue to discuss the plans with patients and the wider public. Decorum Health Action Group Chairman Phil Aylett said, "In rushing forward with the closure of our hospital, NHS managers and Decorum Borough Council have shown contempt for local people. Keir Starmer made a clear promise that there would be public consultation over the plans to flatten the existing hospital and squeeze all services into a single Market Square hub block. This would have given us a proper chance to consider the alternative of developing the current hospital site. There are 430 parking spaces at the hospital. The NHS and council think all those cars will fit into the 600 space Water Gardens car park, which is already more than half full. Their numbers don't add up. The planners disregard the poor mobility and other conditions of many patients, and the restricted site will not allow for expansion as the population grows and ages. It is irrational to give up a site with plenty of scope for expansion in favour of a cramped hub." Starmer had said prior to initial consultations, "The proposals for the health campus will be open to public consultation. I'd urge the whole community to input into that to ensure the strongest investment case is put forward."
Hello, this is Amanda, and now more on this story. Local MP David Taylor, when approached for comment on the Action Group's objections, said, I continue to engage with every stakeholder involved in the future of health provision across Hemel Hempstead. While I am not in a decision-making role, I am pushing for all services to be as ambitious as possible. The current proposals for the new campus site include a hospital and GP surgery, as well as mental health, social care, wellbeing and community services. Aylett said that the last time the NHS considered the future of Decorum's hospital services in 2018, the Market Square Hub was rated as the worst option out of a shortlist of 10. What has happened to make it the preferred way forward, he asked. We are owed an explanation of this extraordinary U-turn. The health of residents is clearly a low priority than selling off the hospital land, and the council's need to do something with the Market Square. The West Hertfordshire NHS Trust and Decorum Borough Council said they had been working together to design services and healthcare to better meet the needs of residents and deliver a joined-up, accessible and tailored approach to healthcare. A number of options have been assessed and we have outlined why the proposed Hemel Health Campus is the preferred option at this stage. Over the last 4 months, almost 8,000 people have engaged directly with the project proposals through the dedicated Health Campus microsite, face-to-face events and public survey to provide their feedback. We will continue to engage with patients and the wider public. Details can be accessed at https://letstalk.decorum.gov.uk/Hemel-health-campus.
Hello, this is Kevin reading. A prisoner was released in error from the Mount in Bovingdon in the past week, one of several, including a high-profile sex offender, accidentally freed nationwide over the same period, a union leader said. Speaking to the BBC, Prison Officers Association, POA, National Chairman Mark Fairhurst said prison service leaders have known mistakes releases have been a regular occurrence for the last year. He added, over the last 7 days, there have been five releases in errors from five separate prisons. As well as the prisoner from the Mount in Bovington, they included two from HMP Pentonville in North London, and individuals at HMP Durham and Reading Crown Court, Fairhurst said. It is understood that one prisoner is still at large after being mistakenly freed, the BBC said. The Mount is a Category C men's prison built on the site of a former RAF station. It has a capacity of 1,028 prisoners. Fairhurst spoke days after the accidental release of sex offender Hadush Kebatu from HMP Chelmsford made national headlines. Ethiopian national Kebeto had been due to be sent to an immigration detention centre. He had been living at the Bell Hotel in Essex when he sexually assaulted a 14-year-old girl and a woman. Following his release, he travelled to London where he was arrested on Sunday morning after a two-day manhunt. He was deported to Ethiopia on Wednesday. A prison officer has been suspended over the Kebatu incident, Fairhurst said, adding that no officers had been suspended over the other five releases. The POA was contesting the suspension. Government figures published in July show 262 prisoners were released in error in the year to March 2025, a 128% increase on 115 in the previous 12 months.
Sexist soccer chants. Hemel Hempstead Town FC vowed to act against discriminatory behaviour by fans after the club was fined for offensive chants that were aimed at a female referee while she was officiating a game. The incident occurred during the team's home derby clash with St Albans City FC on April the 21st, when fans could be heard chanting, "Back to the kitchen, you're going back to the kitchen," at the official. The chant came after a Hemel player was shown a yellow card in a game that the team went on to lose 1-0. At a hearing on September the 15th, the FA's Independent Regulatory Commission, IRC, found the club guilty of failing to ensure that spectators did not use words or otherwise behave in an improper or offensive manner. The club was fined £750 and ordered to undertake an action plan while the IRC accepted that the incident was a one-off. On Monday, Hemel Hempstead Town condemned without reservation the discriminatory behaviour by fans purporting to support or follow the football club. The club is engaging with ongoing positive dialogue with Kick It Out and Her Game 2 and other appropriate local organisations to further enhance our relationships by seeking advice and ratification of new and developing policies and procedures, it said in a statement. We will also introduce supporter and steward educational programmes in conjunction with the organisations mentioned above, including issues associated with the potential inappropriate usage of words, chanting, gestures or conduct, it added in reference to issues of ethnicity, gender, religion, sexual orientation or disability.
This week in history, November 2nd, 1982, Channel 4 began transmitting. November 3rd, 1975, the Queen opened the North Sea Pipeline, the first to be built underwater, bringing 400,000 barrels ashore each day at Grangemouth Refinery on the Firth of Forth. On this day last year, the Queen vowed she would keep trying to end domestic violence until she was able no more. In a documentary, Camilla told the film that domestic abuse was a heinous crime and that she was determined to continue raising awareness of the issue. November 4th, 1979, Iranian students stormed the US Embassy in Tehran and held more than 60 staff and Marines hostage. On this day last year, the government's decision to charge students more for university in England the following year was morally wrong, and the reforms were a sticking plaster on what was needed, education leaders warned. Tuition fees for domestic undergraduate students in England would rise to £9,535 a year after 8 years of being frozen at a maximum of £9,250. November 5th, 1956, a popular uprising in Hungary was crushed by Soviet tanks and troops, with an estimated 20,000 Hungarians killed.
And now this week's obituaries. Clementine Monstrat of Claymore Grove Hill passed away peacefully on Thursday the 9th of October, aged 95 years. Funeral service to take place at Church of the Resurrection, Grove Hill, on Thursday the 13th of November at 12 noon, followed by cremation at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium. Wife of the late Norman, sister, aunt, great-aunt, nurse and friend to many, family flowers only. Messages of condolence or donations to the British Heart Foundation may be given at www.jwarley.co.uk. J. Worley Funeral Directors Limited, telephone 253 465. Eileen Smith died peacefully on October the 9th, aged 95, at Stevenage Hospital. Latterly of Berkhamsted and Buntingford, beloved widow of Ken and mother to the late Karen and David. Proud grandmother of Jacob, Jonathan and Olivia, dearly loved by her family and friends. Funeral service on Monday 10th of November at 12:30 p.m. Hemel Hempstead Crematorium. Family flowers only, but donations if desired for St. Francis Hospice, Berkhamsted.
20 is plenty, or is it? A Labour County councillor is calling for 20 miles per hour speed limits to become the norm in Hertfordshire on all roads that have school entrances. Many schools across the county are already located in 20 mile per hour zones, but some are on roads with higher speed limits, in rare cases up to 70 miles an hour. Now, Alastair Willoughby from Baldock and Letchwood East is leading calls for the default limit, subject to appropriate traffic assessments, to be cut to 20 miles per hour. He proposed the change in a motion submitted to last week's full council meeting. The motion highlighted children as being among the most vulnerable road users, with collision severity increasing significantly at higher vehicle speeds. Willoughby said a 20 miles per hour limit near school entrances would also support those who walk and cycle and reduce emissions. Exceptions should be made only where there was compelling evidence of need. The motion called on the council to bring forward a feasibility assessment for county-wide implementation of the change, ensuring that funding for signage, enforcement and public awareness campaigns was made available. Every child should be able to walk to school safely, and every parent should feel confident that their community takes that seriously, said Willoughby, deputy leader of the Labour Group and his party's spokesperson for highways. His motion will be considered by a future meeting of the Council's Highways Cabinet Panel. Labour Group leader, Councillor Nigel West from West Watford, who seconded the motion, said, "This is a practical, proportionate step. It's about making our communities safer, greener and more walkable." A council spokesman said, "We are considering the motion and its merits seriously, and we look forward to discussing it at the panel meeting."
Hearts tourists Jamaica let down. A Hertfordshire tourist holidaying with his family in Jamaica said he felt completely let down by the UK government's response to Hurricane Melissa. David Rowe was forced to cut his holiday short and paid £3,500 for last-minute flights home for his family before the island's airports shut. The 47-year-old IT manager said, "The advice should have been last week, like on the Saturday, don't travel, because a lot of the travel companies use the FCDO guidance on travel for all their planning and what decisions they make as an organisation. There should have been something done much sooner than this, and a lot of the UK nationals and people on holiday there, they are stranded. This could have been prevented with better action from the UK government." Thousands of British tourists were stranded in Jamaica after one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes in history wreaked havoc on the Caribbean island. People were ordered to stay inside to avoid the world's strongest storm of the year so far, which left flash flooding in its wake. A Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office spokesperson said, "We understand how worrying developments in Jamaica are for British nationals and their families. Our travel advice includes information about hurricane season, which runs from June to November. Last Thursday, we updated our travel advice for Jamaica to include a warning about Tropical Storm Melissa and that it was expected to intensify over the coming days. The safety and security of British nationals is our top priority, and that is why we are urging any British nationals in Jamaica to follow the guidance of local authorities." Early on Wednesday, the storm headed towards Cuba, where it made landfall as a hurricane, packing 120 mile per hour winds.
Nightclub assault charge. A man has been charged in connection with an assault in a nightclub in Hemel Hempstead. Liam Loughran, aged 29, of Windsor Court in Colchester, was charged with grievous bodily harm last Monday. The charge relates to an incident in Volt's nightclub on Waterhouse Street at around 1:15 a.m. on June 14th. Following the alleged assault, a man in his 40s was taken to hospital for treatment to a laceration on his head and a black eye. Hearts Constabulary is appealing for new witnesses to come forward and said that Loughran is being held in police custody. Detective Constable Jake Smith from the Decorum Criminal Investigation Department said, although we have now secured a charge and remand in connection with this incident, we are still appealing for anyone with information to come forward as we progress the case through the courts. He added, we would like to make a direct appeal to anyone who may have been involved at the time, including any members of staff at the nightclub who have not already spoken to us. Please come forward if they have any information. Did you witness what happened, or the lead up to it, or the aftermath? If you can help, please contact us as soon as possible, quoting crime reference 41/54252/25. Loughran is due to appear at Cambridge Crown Court for a pre-trial hearing on November the 18th.
Paper mill reopens. A historic paper mill in Hemel Hempstead has reopened to the public more than 3 years after it was almost destroyed in an arson attack. Frogmore, which is home to the oldest mechanical paper mill in the world, opened again this month with hard hat tours. Visitors can see how to make paper and are given an informative tour of the building, which became operational in the 18th century. A spokesperson for the mill said hard hats are required because they still have work to do restoring the building after the devastating blaze. The January 2022 fire, for which two boys both aged 13 were convicted of arson, forced the demolition of the mill's original structure. A spokesperson for the mill said hard hats were required for tours because staff were still actively restoring the building. St Albans Youth Court heard in 2023 how the two teenagers had used a lighter to deliberately start a fire within the property. Dozens of firefighters were deployed to extinguish the blaze, which caused major damage to the mill's visitor centre and left some historic artefacts beyond repair. Following the sentencing of the teenagers, police investigator Deborah Newsham said, "This incident demonstrates the consequences of reckless behaviour. The fire destroyed precious artwork and historic documents, as well as causing millions of pounds worth of damage." After the fire, staff and volunteers had to complete round-the-clock repairs to save the site from complete destruction, and a fundraiser remains open to enable further work.
A missing man now. An appeal has been launched to locate a missing man from Hertfordshire. Police officers said they are growing increasingly concerned for the welfare of David, a 59-year-old from Abbots Langley. They did not release his family name. He was last seen around 9:45 a.m. on Tuesday at King's Langley railway station. Police described him as around 5'6" tall and of stocky build, with wavy brown hair and a grey goatee beard. Hertfordshire Constabulary said David was last seen wearing a blue suit, a black knee-length rain mac and black shoes, and carrying a black laptop bag. He has links to the Bishopsgate area of London. A spokesperson for the police force said, if you have seen David since he was reported missing or have information about where he has been, report information online at hearts.police.uk/report or call the non-emergency number 101, quoting ISR 253.
The school's funding squeeze. The woefully insufficient funding that Hertfordshire receives for children with special educational needs and the impact that has on the County Council's overall budget has been highlighted at a meeting of leading councillors. Every year, education authorities get high needs block funding to support children with high levels of SEND in their schools and colleges. But this year, it's been estimated that schools in Hertfordshire will spend £51 million more than the amount that has been allocated. And the impact that has on council spending overall was highlighted at a meeting of the Cabinet last Monday during a review of spending over the first 3 months of the financial year. Overall, councillors heard that the County Council was heading for a £4.2 million overspend, which is within the council's £10 million allocated contingency. But Director of Finance Stephen Pillsworth highlighted a mounting deficit within the school's budget. According to the report, an in-year deficit of £51 million in high-needs funding is forecast, which would result in an accumulated high-needs deficit of £77 million by the end of the 25-26 financial year. There is, of course, an interest impact of that, which is factored in as a cost elsewhere in the budget, but a very important point to note. Leader of the County Council, Councillor Steve Jarvis, suggested that solving this was absolutely dependent on the government changing the national regime for funding and for SEND in general. Councillors also highlighted concerns about the impact the government's fair funding review would have on the County Council. The government launched its fair funding review earlier this year with the aim to target money where it is most needed, with changes due to be implemented in 2026-27. And concerns were expressed at the meeting about the impact the review could have on funding allocated to Hertfordshire. Jarvis said, "In the short term, we will be continuing both to make the public aware and to use every opportunity we have to lobby Hertfordshire's MPs and ministers about the potential impact if they proceed with this sort of reductions in funding that are currently forecast from the fair funding regime."
Police misconduct charge. A former Hertfordshire police officer has been accused of misconduct after she allegedly showed sensitive material to a member of the public and failed to tell the police that her ex-partner was a convicted criminal. Ex-PC Claire Arnott was facing a police misconduct hearing on Thursday, accused of breaching the standards of professional behaviour for confidentiality, honesty and integrity, duties and responsibilities, and discreditable conduct. A notice published in advance of the hearing said Arnott allegedly showed a member of the public sensitive work-related material on her work laptop and disclosed verbally information about people she was dealing with in her role as a police officer. She had been informed that her ex-partner had previous criminal convictions whilst they were in a relationship, but failed to disclose this information to her workplace, it further alleged. A formal complaint about PC Arnott was lodged by a member of the public after they visited Hertfordshire Constabulary's control room in March 24, when Arnott was a serving police officer.
MPs cross-party role. Hemel Hempstead MP David Taylor has been elected vice chair of the inaugural meeting of the newly formed cross-party, all-party parliamentary group on antisocial behaviour. The group brings together MPs from across party lines and is supported by Resolve UK, the sector-leading body specialising in tackling antisocial behaviour and in community safety issues. Resolve UK acts as the official secretariat for the group. In his role, Taylor will ensure that the concerns of Hemel Hempstead residents are front and centre of national policy discussions on antisocial behaviour, street crime and community safety. Key commitments from the local MP include working with Resolve UK to drive tougher enforcement, quicker intervention and stronger partnerships between police, councils, housing providers and residents. Bringing specific Hemel Hempstead problem areas and real-life constituent casework into Westminster so that national legislation and local delivery are aligned. Working collaboratively across political parties, local agencies and communities to deliver tangible results, safer streets, fewer victims and more visible policing. Taylor said, "This is about action, not words. Too many people in Hemel Hempstead are seeing antisocial behaviour, intimidation, drug dealing and vandalism in their streets. My election as vice chair of this group gives us the platform to turn local frustration into national action and local results."
Danger moped seized. A moped believed to have been involved in a series of antisocial and dangerous riding incidents across Abbots Langley has been seized by police following information provided by residents. Officers from the neighbourhood policing team responded to reports of an abandoned vehicle in Stuart Close on September the 27th. They said it matched descriptions connected to recent disturbances, including reports of reckless riding in Leavesden Country Park. The vehicle was later recovered and removed from the area. Police say the action was made possible thanks to details shared through Hearts Connected, the county's community messaging service, which allows residents to report issues and receive local updates. Inquiries remain ongoing to identify those responsible for the recent incidents. Officers have encouraged anyone with further information or concerns about antisocial behaviour to contact the police or register with Hearts Connected to help improve community safety. Residents have welcomed the removal of the moped, describing it as a positive step in tackling nuisance riding in the area.
Hello, this is Brian. And now, what's on? 4th to 7th of November, Tring Theatre Company, Much Ado About Nothing. Much Ado About Nothing is Shakespeare at his most charming and clever. This timeless comedy blends sharp wit, mistaken identities and heartfelt romance into a joyful theatrical experience. 7:30 p.m. Tickets from £7. 8th of November, Music, the California Dreaming Show. Join us as we travel back through some great classic American music from some of the best decades in popular music. You'll hear songs from a collection of the most iconic bands and artists of that time, including Bob Seger, the Doobie Brothers, Mamas and Papas, the Eagles, Beach Boys, Jackson Browne, Tom Petty, Neil Young, and many, many more. 8 p.m. tickets, £24. Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead. November 4th, film. The Brutalist, Certificate 18. When a visionary architect, Lazio Toth, Adrian Brody, and his wife, Elizabeth Felicity Jones, flee Europe to rebuild their legacy and witness the birth of modern America, their lives are changed forever by a mysterious and wealthy client. 7 p.m, tickets from £5. Mark Simmons and Friends, 7th of November, comedy, Mark Simmons and Friends, £15. After a sellout 200-day debut tour, master of one-liners Mark Simmons is back on the road, testing out new material. Expect a night of freshly cooked one-liners, some that may never see the light of day again. From the Dave's Joke of the Fringe winner 2024, alongside are three fantastic comedians handpicked by Mark. 8 p.m, tickets £15. 8th of November, music, Carmi Love and LaVille, a night of soulful fire and smooth resonance. Step into a night where timeless soul meets modern finesse, as two of the UK's most electrifying solo voices come together for a one-of-a-kind live experience. Carmi Love, known for her velvet vocals and rich emotive delivery, joins forces with LaVille, whose honeyed tones and effortless groove have earned acclaim across the soul and R&B scenes. 8:30 p.m, tickets £15.
Films at Hemel Hempstead Cineworld this week include Bogonia, a comedy, Certificate 15. Back to the Future, the 40th anniversary reissue, action sci-fi 12A. Chainsaw Man, the movie, Ray's Ark, subtitled, this action animation 15 certificate. Black Phone 2, horror, 18. Sketch 2025, a comedy, 12A. Shelby Oaks, horror, 15. Relay, drama, 15. Regretting You, drama, 12A. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, drama, 12A. The Conjuring, Last Rites, horror, 15. Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie, animation, U. I Swear, comedy, drama, 15. Night of the Zoopocalypse, animation, PG.
Films at the Rex Berkhamsted this week. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. Drama, Certificate 12A. I Swear, comedy, drama, Certificate 15. Frankenstein, horror, Certificate 15. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of a booking.
And now some sports news. Tudors seek FA Cup glory. Hemel Hempstead Town head to former FA Cup Wigan winners, Wigan Athletic, dreaming of giant killing glory on Saturday, and they will travel for the first round tie at the Latics in confident mood after a last gasp 1-0 National League South win over Bath City at the weekend. Joe White slotting home the winning penalty deep into stoppage time at the end of the game. The win ensured the Tudors stay right in the promotion mix as they sit fourth in the table, but they can now switch their attention to Saturday's huge clash against the 2013 tournament winners at what is now called the Brick Community Stadium. Hemel will have had to beat Bishop Stortford, Hereford and Yeovil Town to reach the first round proper for the first time in 11 years, and manager Lee Allinson is urging his players to make the most of the occasion at the Sky Bet League One club. Now we can really look forward to the game. Now we can talk about it, and now we can enjoy the build-up, Allinson told at Hemel FC. We're training Tuesday, and we will do a lot of work on Wigan, and it is going to be extremely tough. We will then train on Friday morning and travel up Friday afternoon. We will prepare properly, and we will go there and give it a shot. It's going to be really tough, but what I will say is, with the incredible support we have had, I can't wait to see everyone up there. It is going to be a massive day for the football club, a proud day, and I think we deserve it. We have had a tough few years of trying to get there, and now we have got there, let's go and enjoy the day no matter what happens. Hemel will be backed in the northwest by more than 700 travelling fans, and Allinson wants them to enjoy their day out and make themselves heard. It is incredible, and that is some going, because Wigan is a long way, said the Tudors boss. To have that support is great, and all I would ask of them is to get behind us non-stop and to keep singing.
Storm blown away by Hoods. A disappointing first half proved costly as Hemel Storm fell to an 89-79 defeat against Nottingham Hoods on their first visit to the Harvey Haddon Sports Village. Taylor Johnson began his third spell as a Storm player, leading the scorers with a total of 26 points. He was followed by Matt Norman with 12 and Darian Nelson-Henry, who were the only players to achieve double figures. It took just 2 seconds for Johnson to open the scoring with a layup. A three-pointer from Norman, alongside some good work inside the paint from Nelson-Henry, kept the visitors in the lead at the halfway stage of the period, before Nottingham began to find some momentum. The speed of Donald Nixon II and Tyrone Williams alongside the threatening Elliot Bailey inspired the Hoods as their accurate shooting and good decision-making gave the hosts a 23-16 lead at the end of the first 10 minutes. the momentum remained with the hosts in the second quarter. Williams in particular was a thorn in the Storm side as his mid-range shooting forced Jake Routage into a timeout with the lead at 14 in Hood's favour. Mergim Sokolay extended the lead to a game high of 18 before a Sam Newman three-pointer sent both teams into the interval with the Hoods sporting a comfortable 49-34 lead. Storm needed a reaction in the third quarter. While Storm were able to make better decisions going forward, they also limited Nottingham to lower percentage shots. This was effective as the lead was trimmed to just 7 points. However, the hosts were able to restore their double-digit advantage after a three-pointer from Nixon 2 sent both teams into the final period with the Hoods winning 67-57. Much like the third quarter, whenever Storm trimmed the deficit to within single figures, Nottingham seemed to break the scoring run with a successful shot. While Storm continued to compete until the final buzzer, Elliot Bailey dunked the ball on the buzzer to round off a bad day at the office for Storm, losing 89-79. As the chance to follow up last week's dominant display at Loughborough with consecutive victories went missing. Lost rebounds and turnovers, especially in the first half, proved to be a key contributor to the defeat, with 22 turnovers over the 40 minutes. Storm will look to bounce back with a trip to Yorkshire Dragons on Saturday the 1st of November. A reminder for those interested in sports news, on Saturday afternoon, Three Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8, Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and Talk Sport are on medium wave 1089.
In a local government revamp, more than 7,000 Hertfordshire residents have had their say on plans to replace the county's existing councils with unitary authorities. Hertfordshire currently operates a two-tier system of local government with one county council and 10 district and borough councils. But under government plans, council leaders have come up with a short list of three proposals that would split the county into two, three or four unitary council areas. In September, Hertfordshire residents were asked to share their own views by taking part in an online survey or attending engagement events. Around 7,400 residents have taken part across the county. We would like to thank everyone who took part in our engagement on local government reorganisation, says a joint statement issued on behalf of the county council leaders. This level of engagement across the county demonstrates the value of the services we provide and the importance of the partnerships we have. As part of the engagement exercise, residents, business representatives, town and parish councils, community groups and the voluntary sector were able to attend face-to-face sessions held in every district and borough. This approach has ensured that a diverse range of views have been captured and informed the development of our proposals, which include three potential models for unitary councils in Hertfordshire, said the statement from the leaders. Councils have until November the 28th to finalise their submission to government. If the 11 councils do not reach a collective agreement, a number of proposals could be submitted as part of the process, but each council could only back a single option. According to the expected timeline, formal consultation would be expected to be launched next spring, and a decision on the reorganisation would be taken by the government next summer. A microsite detailing information on the options being considered can be found at www.hertfordshire-lgr.co.uk.
Birko School's funding boost. One of the UK's oldest independent schools in Berkhamsted has secured £18 million in development funding from NatWest to support the construction of a new sixth form building. Founded in 1541, Berkhamsted School educates almost 2,000 pupils from nursery through to sixth form on its 11.6-acre site. The purpose-built sixth form building features spaces designed to emulate modern, collaborative workplaces, preparing up to 450 students for both higher education and future careers. Facilities include the Future Zone, a workspace for aspiring entrepreneurs, and 20 classrooms designed around the Harkness model, which aims to encourage student-led discussion and independent learning. The building, which officially opened in October after a three-year build, also benefits from sustainability features, including air source heat pumps and solar panels. The funding deal marks the latest development in the partnership between NatWest and the school, which plays an active role in the local community and employs almost 600 staff. With support from the bank, Berkhamsted Schools Group recently became one of the first independent schools in the UK to achieve ISO 14001 environmental accreditation, a standard that promotes efficient energy and water management and waste reduction. Julian Anthony, its chief operating officer, said the new sixth form building is a major step in our estate's master plan and reflects our commitment to preparing pupils for the world beyond school, not just academically, but socially and environmentally too. From the earliest planning stage, NatWest has been an outstanding partner. Ian Nuttall, Relationship Director at NatWest, added, "Berkhamsted Schools Group has a remarkable educational heritage and a clear vision for the future. We're proud to have supported the school in bringing this project to life, with sustainability considerations integral to the build throughout."
Marlowe's Poppy Appeal. The Marlowe Shopping Centre is once again supporting the Royal British Legion's annual Poppy Appeal, marking an 11th consecutive year of partnership. The appeal would take place in centre until the 8th of November, giving visitors the chance to donate, purchase a poppy and show their support for the Armed Forces community. Visitors are encouraged to stop by the Royal British Legion stand opposite Dykeman. Every contribution helps support the work that the charity continues to do for veterans and their families across the UK. "The poppy means a great deal to us here at the Marlowe," says Humphrey Mwanza, centre manager at the Marlowe's. "We're so proud to play our part in supporting this vital campaign once again."
Camera's pub reform plea. The South Harts branch of Camera, the Campaign for Real Ale, has warned of risks that local communities may lose track of changes to how their pubs are run, under plans to remove licensing notices from newspapers. The government plans to scrap laws that require pubs to publish alcohol licensing notices in the local press. Ministers say the change will cut red tape and help pubs thrive, but Camera chairman Ash Corbett Collins warned the move risks reducing transparency and community input. South Harts Camera highlighted how important it is for the community to be kept informed. Its vice chair, Emily Ryan, told the Harts Advertiser, "We believe pubs are a fundamental part of our local community, and so it's really important that people know what's going on with them. We hope that principle is not lost in any reforms that are made to the licensing processes. For decades, pubs seeking to apply for new licenses or make changes to existing ones have been required to publish notices in their community paper. This remains one of the few consistent ways for local residents to be informed about such changes. But the proposal to move the process online could mean fewer people ever see these notices, meaning some would no longer have the opportunity to object or raise concerns about the plan.
Tring Taproom Launch. Tring Brewery has announced the launch of an on-site taproom and courtyard space at the Piggeries, based at its site on Dunsley Farm. The Piggeries taproom and courtyard is product of the brewery's efforts to restore a rustic barn space on the farm, featuring reclaimed pub furniture, vintage signs and mirrors, and newly laid Welsh slate flooring. Outside the barn sits Olive, a 1980s double-decker bus that has been retrofitted to serve beer, cider, wine and a full-back bar of spirits. Tring Brewery invites drinkers to hop on, as further seating is found on Olive's top desk, offering views of Dunsley Farm and beyond. Bar manager Claudia Phillips said, "As Tring Brewery's official tap, we're pouring 14 fresh beers year-round. There are plans for small batch ales to feature. And we intend to make street food Saturdays a staple here too." Andrew Jackson, managing director at Tring Brewery, said, "This marks a new chapter for Tring Brewery, at first in our 32 years as a local brewer."
School-based nurseries. David Taylor, MP for Hemel Hempstead, has called on schools in the town to apply to become part of the next wave of new or expanded nurseries directly on primary school grounds, to make life easier for working parents, cutting down the school run, and giving children a seamless start to their education. It comes as Labour has confirmed over 4,000 extra school-based nursery places have been made available across England this month as a result of the government's initial £37 million investment. Contributing to the vibrant childcare market, school-based nurseries offer children the opportunity to grow up and learn in a consistent environment all the way up to age 11. To assist, Labour's drive, Taylor has invited local primary schools to bid for up to £150,000 funding from a £45 million pot to create a further 300 new or expanded Best Start school-based nurseries, offering up to 7,000 more places from September 26. Labour's second phase will prioritise quality beds from schools, serving areas with children with childcare cold spots in some of the most disadvantaged communities, delivering thousands of new places for families who need them most. Taylor said, "I know from speaking with families across Hemel Hempstead, childcare can put pressure on household finances. That's why Labour's offer of 30 government-funded hours of childcare has already begun to make a massive difference to local parents, saving them £7,500 a year and giving children the best start it can."
Charity Sleep Out. Hertfordshire-based homelessness charity Dens has announced the return of its popular sponsored Sleep Out on Friday, November 21st. Taking place at the new venue of Hammond Academy in Hemel Hempstead, the fundraising event promises an inspiring night under the stars. Open to adults and children aged 8 and over, the evening will include activities for all ages, Q&A session about the charity's work and live music performances. When it's time to bed down, participants can experience just a small glimpse of the challenges faced by rough sleepers during the harsh winter months. At dawn, they can wake up knowing the sponsorship they have raised will make a life-changing impact for local people facing homelessness each night. The event is sponsored by Saffron Electrical and Power UK, an aerospace company based in Pittstone. Last year's sleep out saw a record-breaking attendance, raising £33,000. Charlotte McCarthy, community fundraiser at Dens, said, "We're determined to make this our biggest sponsored sleep out ever. It's a truly eye-opening experience and an inspiring way to come together as a community. By raising sponsorship on the night, every participant helps us to make an even greater difference to local people in need." Free places for the Dens sponsored sleep out are available now at www.dens.org.uk/sleepout25.
And finally, Alex's charity challenge. A 10-year-old schoolboy is running 5 laps of George Street in Berkhamsted to raise money for the Castle Fields campaign. Alex Chopping was due to take on the challenge on November 1st, starting at 9:30 a.m. and has so far raised nearly £1,000. The money will help support Berkhamsted Castle Trust, which needs to raise £500,000 in 2 years to preserve the historic fields, part of the ancient Royal Deer Park, and preserve open access. Alex said, "I was inspired to raise some money for Save Castle Fields, as it's where we walk our dog, Ziggy. It's important to make sure that Berkhamsted protects its green spaces, and I wanted to do something to help raise money and awareness." His mother, Geraldine, added on his Just Giving page, "On Saturday, Alex, helped by his dad, Paul, will be running 5 laps of George Street. Alex was inspired to take on this challenge because Castle Fields is a special place for his family. Now he's lacing up his trainers to give something back and help protect the space that so many in Berkhamsted love." The Castlefield site, linked to Magna Carta, was saved from the threat of housing development following a successful intervention by Berkhamsted Castle Trust and a generous loan. The fields, thought to be part of one of the earliest Royal Deer Parks, has been under threat of sale for development in recent years. When they were put on up for public auction in March, Berkhamsted Castle Trust secured a philanthropic loan from a former local resident to purchase the 30-acre site. Chairman of the Trust, Adrian Barham, said, "The role and significance of the siege of Berkhamsted Castle in the story of the fight for Magna Carta meant that we could not run the risk of these fields being bought by property developers. We will work with the local community to protect the site, improve the environment, and provide public access, and help people to understand the historical significance of the landscape around the castle. But our first challenge is to raise the £500,000 needed to repay the loan we have taken out to buy the fields."
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 06:56 and 16:31. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill," followed by "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us at Adeyfield Community Centre, The Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Jake, your technician for this week.